Hello and welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he is Steve Palmer, and we've been starved of action. Two tournaments this week, Steve, for us to get stuck into. What a time to be alive.
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is the first proper golfing week of the year, isn't it? We had a little season preview last week on Sweet Spot, but we got two actual golf tournaments this week. We didn't get a Century Tournament of Champions last week, and it was very strange. It was the first time in living memory that we weren't up all night in the first week of January watching golf from Hawaii. So potentially, I think it's actual fact that I'm fresher than I've ever been for a Sony Open, because I used to stay up all night watching the Century and I didn't have to. So yeah, hopefully that'll translate into Winners' Day.
Okay, in racing terms, do you go well fresh?
I go extremely well fresh, Dave, yeah. I need a lot of early nights in the winter. I don't know how you're getting on with the winter. I hate how dark it is all the time, how cold it is all the time, how wet it is all the time. Sorry to get on the negative straight away after a big positive, but I think early nights are very important at this time of year, Dave. Would you agree with me?
Well, I'm not convinced the sun actually comes out at any stage. Like the other day, I was driving along, I could see the moon during the day, and I was thinking, yeah, what the hell is going on?
And you try getting two young kids ready for school in the dark. You know, they do not want to get up, let alone get out of the house. And these are the challenges of winter. But yeah. I feel fresher than I normally do at this time of year. Very, very excited about the return of golf. I feel like the gap has been. Yeah, the gap is long enough. It's not a big gap. I think it's long enough to get our appetite back. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but I'm hungry. Very, very hungry.
I'm absolutely chomping at the bit. That is for sure. Right, we did have a bit of fun last week. If you missed last week's show, Steve has given you his 2026 Majors ACCA. So make sure you jump onto that, of course, after you've watched this. But we have got two tournaments to preview. Also available on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got all your horse racing needs, of course. The assist will be providing you football tips every week. But we do have a feature at the moment, half-time in the football season. So the Racing Post half-time team talk. I was joined by Shrewdy Mark Langdon and former England goalkeeper Paul Robinson. Make sure you check that out as well. Lots of insight there.
That was tremendous, Jay.
Halfway. You watched that scene, yeah?
No, I watched that last night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah, Paul Robinson, a terrific egg. Brilliant. Is he a punter? Is he like a bet? Does Paul Robinson? I mean,
listen, he was talking. He knew his way around the odds and prices and everything.
Yeah. I'm sure. Well, I remember him as a goalkeeper. He used to be the best shot stopper going, didn't he? I mean, he's just a phenomenal shot stopper. There's more to being a custodian than shot stopping, but there was nobody better than him at shot stopping. So I really enjoyed saying that. So. If you see him again, tell him I think he's probably the greatest shot stopper I've ever seen.
I will do. Not to go all Roy Keane, but shot stopping, you know, that's his job, right?
So well, no, there's other stuff, isn't there? Coming for crosses, organising the defence. There's more to being a custodian than meets the eye. I mean, I did a bit of custodian work in my five-a-side days. I was too unfit to be an outfield player, so I was the goalkeeper. And organising and various other jobs were key to it. So. Yeah, there's more to it than meets the eye. Who's West Ham's goalkeeper these days? They need about two goalkeepers. Well,
It could be you. If you want it to be,
There's a few people suggesting I was wearing a West Ham scarf last week. Yes. I wouldn't want to be associated with that.
The dark side.
I do not want to be associated with West Ham. This is Weymouth FC, who have a very, very similar colours to West Ham. Our Claret and Blue Army is a little bit more faithful than the West Ham one. I know they turn on the team quite easily at West Ham. Through thick and thin, the Weymouth fans will stick with their side, and we've got a relegation battle ahead of us.
I'm currently waiting for ticket information on Burton Albion away in the FA Cup, mate. So I'll back your talk of faithfulness, but there we go.
Speak to Nigel Clough. He's got some association with Burton, isn't he? Right, so I'm rambling too much. We've got golf viewers here. We've gone through all sorts of sports. You're going to probably start talking about the Masters snooker in a minute, but we need to get onto the golf.
Yeah, that can come. There's a bit of darts this week as well, so maybe we'll get onto that as well. We are multi-sport here on The Sweet Spot. Of course, we are predominantly and all about the golf. Do remember to like, comment, subscribe. Hype us as well. I want to hear about people hyping us. But do jump into the comments. It's lovely to hear from you. It's great to read everyone's thoughts last week on the majors. We want to hear from you the two tournaments this week. Now, I've got on this piece of paper, Steve, a player that I'm really, really keen on. This week, really keen. As you know,
Neil
I don't
Roberts.
Like to know who you're tipping, and I've prayed to the punting gods that said player is in your team this week because
Okay.
That will bring me even more confidence.
So I like it when we have got, unity. Yeah, unity is important.
Yeah, it's nice to have a team bet. We've got two tournaments then, Dubai Invitational, which we'll tackle first, and the Sony Open. We will go, I'll let you know, to go chronologically. So we are going to start in Dubai, the Dubai Invitational, a bi-annually event. And this is only the second running, right? So Tommy Fleetwood won it 2 years ago.
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. 2024 was the inaugural one. Didn't get one last year because they're playing the Hero Cup, you know, team event, team practice before the Ryder Cup. So in Ryder Cup years, we'll have the Hero Cup to get some of the guys ready for the Ryder Cup. But yeah, yeah, 2024 was a fantastic event. Ended up in a duel between Tommy Fleetwood and Rory McIlroy. Dubai Creek Resort, United Arab Emirates. 7,059 yards, par 71, three par fives. It hosted the Dubai Desert Classic twice in 1999 and 2000. But now it's established as this the Dubai Invitational venue. A lot of water in play at Dubai Creek, Dave.
Everywhere. Bring your armbands. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of water. And the rough is fairly juicy. So this is a test of accuracy more than anything else. And, you know, that is, it makes it an unusual Middle East layout. Normally it's bombs away in the desert. You know, full complement of par fives, and Rory McIlroy makes merry on a lot of those courses. But this is different, and the field size is different as well. A field of 60 going to post, no cut. So yes, and sunny, warm throughout. Windy afternoons every day. So the scoring periods will be in the mornings, and then it gets windy on every afternoon. And the action starts at 4:35 a.m. UK time on Thursday morning.
Okay, I did notice there's a pro-am running alongside this one as well. 3 days of pro-am and then the pros only on the Sunday. Is that a factor? Is that something to have in mind?
Yeah, it's something to keep in mind. Yeah, the players that are more comfortable with the bants, you know, the bantasauruses like you, Dave, they won't mind the pro-am element. Other players can find it really annoying. So, it's a small factor into your calculations.
Can you give me a player that you would rule out when there's a pro-am on? Give it just any player in the world that is not part of the banter club.
Well, yeah, I suppose a really grumpy player. I mean, in the past, I expect Colin Montgomery didn't enjoy the pro-ams. You've got to really analyse these human beings. I know Phil Mickelson used to pull out a few pro-ams. I mean, Phil Mickelson's a curious character. You think he's full of bants. He's full of bants when he needs to be full of bants, but I don't think he enjoyed hanging around with the amateurs more than he had to. Be assured, the two players that I'm tipping for this golf tournament, comfortable with bants and just pleasant characters who can handle human interactions.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Right, the market then. It is a star-studded affair, this one. Rory McIlroy heads the market. Tommy Fleetwood, Jaden Trey Shaper is up there as well. Nikolai Højgaard, the stars are out in Dubai. We've also got Shane Lowry, Thorbjørn Olesen, David Puig, Tom McKibbin's in there as well. Two in the team, you suggested there, Steve. Is that correct?
Yeah, two in the team, and then we'll go through all the ones that got close and all the market principles.
We'll have a thorough run through of the big players then.
Right, that's our New Year's resolution, Dave. That could be our New Year's resolution. Thoroughness. Be thorough in everything you do.
Everything. Okay, right. Who is the main selection then for the Dubai Invitational?
It is Tommy Fleetwood, who we have already discussed a lot this year on Sweet Spot. He was heavily involved in our 2026 season preview. Fleetwood took his game to a new level last year, I think you'll agree, in the second half of last year. I think he's going to win a major this year. I think this could become the greatest season of his career, and it'll start, I believe, with a successful Dubai Invitational title defence. He won this in fine style 2 years ago. I don't know whether you were watching this one 2 years ago, Dave. I don't know whether it clashed with any canine crusaders. I know you always put dogs first, but he closed with back-to-back birdies at 17 and 18, pipped Rory McIlroy. It was a thrilling duel between two of the greatest players Europe has ever produced. And Fleetwood's win came after he finished tailed off in the Century Tournament of Champions. We mentioned we didn't get that this year, but he played in the Century Tournament of Champions last year. He finished 47th of 59 and then had to jet from Hawaii to Dubai. So he didn't arrive in good heart. He didn't arrive particularly full of beans and energy, but still managed to win a duel against Rory McIlroy. I think that shows how much Fleetwood loves this venue. It was a huge injection of confidence for him. A few months later, he finished third in the Masters. Then he won a silver medal in the Olympics. You must remember that one. And then last year, as I say, we've reached new levels. You know, a glorious maiden PGA Tour title. You know, to win your first PGA Tour title in one of the biggest tournaments of the whole year, you know, the Tour Championship, an incredible achievement. Then he was a colossus for Europe in the Ryder Cup. He was an absolutely key player for Europe in the Ryder Cup, an inspiration to others, as well as the points he scored. And then, he, you know, to put some icing on the cake, went and won the India Championship. You must remember that one. Wonderful scenes where, you know, Frankie, it's the first time Frankie had seen him win in the flesh. It was, you know, the end of last season was an absolute triumph for Tommy Fleetwood. You know, easy to forget how well he played in Abu Dhabi in the DP World Tour Championship. Second in Abu Dhabi, third in the DP World Tour Championship. A key point to make is that he put the new driver into play in those two tournaments. He switched to the latest TaylorMade driver. You know, normally at this time of year, you're flapping like a canary, Dave, about equipment. You're trying to find everything you can about the guys. Yeah, are they putting in any new equipment into play? Fleetwood very shrewdly stuck his TaylorMade driver, the new one, into play in Abu Dhabi. Loved it. You know, he ended the season driving superbly. I've heard really good reports about this driver. You know, we're not here to advertise anything, but I've heard this is the best driver that TaylorMade have ever produced.
We can be bought, though.
Maybe. I always a bit skeptical on all this. So I always think, how can you keep improving the product? But yeah, maybe they found some new minerals. Maybe they've been to Greenland or something and found some, or Ukraine, found some fantastic new minerals. They've done something to make this the best driver ever, by all accounts. And yeah, Fleetwood fell in love with it at the end of last year. So I find it very hard to think of a reason why. You know, he's excelling in the desert at the end of last year. Why can't he just start 2026 in the same fashion at the end of 2025 in the same region where he makes his home? I just cannot think of a good reason. I'd be very keen if any commentators can come out with a good reason why he won't contend. He's got 100% record on the course. It plays to his strengths, this course. You know, his ball striking strengths. Your accuracy from tee to green is the foundation of Fleetwood's success. An ability to handle the wind. I mentioned those breezy afternoons. Yeah, to win this tournament, you're going to have to play well in the breeze. Yeah, there's not many players better than Fleetwood in the breeze. He's an absolute natural. And it's in his backyard. Yeah, this tournament's being played in his backyard. He moved to Dubai in 2022. At the start of 2022, he knows Dubai Creek well. His preparation is easy. Home comforts, enthusiastic support. You know, that's going to bring obvious motivation. Yeah, Fleetwood, the man to beat. Emphatically the man to beat for me.
I like it. Second favourite. Clear second favourite. We've lost the scarf. It now means business. Right, so yeah. Tommy Fleetwood with the main pick. Who is the next best?
The next best and our only other selection is Ewan Ferguson. So we got two Fs. Fleetwood and Ferguson is the staking plan for Dubai. Both Dubai residents. Ferguson lives in Dubai Marina. He's got a lovely flat in the tower in Dubai Marina. Bought that 3 years ago. And that comfort in Dubai, you know, the tournaments in Dubai obviously can prepare better for now. He feels more comfortable in the region. And it showed immediately because at the end of that 2023, when he moved there, he played really well in the DP World Tour Championship, finished ninth in that, you know, elite company. Then in the only Dubai invitation we've had, Ferguson finished 11th, four rounds in the 60s. I think we're going to see another solid effort at Dubai Creek from Ferguson. He's won three times on the DP World Tour. His maiden title came in the Middle East. You might remember that one, a really windy Qatar Masters, 2022 Qatar Masters. He handled the breeze better than anyone. His last win came in the BMW International Open in 2024. I've always loved Ewan Ferguson. I mean, you sweet spotters will know my affection for Ewan Ferguson, but I stopped backing him. I stopped backing him because he had some health problems, Dave. He had an issue with some vertigo. He had some spine problems, but it looks to me like he's put a lot of these concerns behind him. You know, last year he played some fantastic golf. He was second in the Sudal Open. He was fifth in the BMW PGA at Wentworth. You know, those two performances underline his strength, you know, supreme accuracy. You should back Ferguson on courses where there's a premium on accuracy like Wentworth. Dubai Creek fits the bill. And he looked really good last time. Did you watch the Ned Bank Challenge, Dave? Ferguson showed up well in that. He finished 10th in the Ned Bank. He's had a month off since the Ned Bank. So, you know, he's had a month off to get body and mind ready for the new year. Even his even his beloved Glasgow Rangers are helping him, Dave. He's a massive Rangers fan. Rangers are back in the title race. I don't know how much you've been following the Scottish Premiership, but you know, they're above Celtic. Celtic got a game in hand and they're playing tomorrow. But Rangers fans are absolutely buzzing. You know, and it has an impact on your daily life, doesn't it? When you football, if you're a massive fan, I know you're a massive West Ham fan.
I can tell you, as a West Ham fan, it does. Yes, I can.
It has a huge impact on your well being. And he's full of beans. Suddenly, Rangers are in with a chance of winning the Scottish Premiership again. And you'd fancy him actually from here. But I just think Ewan Ferguson, he's walking with a real swagger at the moment. You know, the opposite of the West Ham fans who come to work virtually crying. You know, you offer him a box of Kleenex because, you know, West Ham are just a club in absolute crisis. But Ferguson's just got everything's going well in the life of Ewan Ferguson. And I think he's a massive each way. Yeah, it's a lovely each way value for this. Yeah, it's a big price.
Okay, let's stick to the golf, mate. Yeah, let's stick to the golf. I can also confirm that I do not remember the 2022 Qatar Masters.
Oh, do you well. Not?
I'd just like to confirm that. Okay, I don't remember what I had for breakfast today. Let alone the 2022
I love that tour. It's an absolute thriller. I mean,
right, we have to scroll down a fair way for your man, Mr. Ferguson. We have to scroll down a fair way. So yeah. nice each way angle there. Right, let's talk big boys then. And then there's none bigger than the favourite here, Rory McIlroy. Now, listen, I know you're not going to rule him out because it's a course that you need to be accurate on, because he's one of the best golfers in the world. But he's not your selection. Why is he not?
Yeah, you can't rule out Rory McIlroy because he's Rory McIlroy. I mean, he's got a great record in Dubai. You know, he loves coming to Dubai, but this will be his least favourite course in Dubai by a country mile. I mean, you know, the course does not play to his strengths. It's not your typical long desert layout where, you know, Rory likes getting driver out as much as he can. Dominate the par fives, and he can do that. You know, the Emirates, the Earth course, you know, they are his playgrounds. But this one is more suited to Fleetwood. I don't see McIlroy pinging the lids like Fleetwood can this week. Yeah, Fleetwood lives in Dubai, much more settled build up. Rory McIlroy played a TGL match. I know you like the TGL, Dave. Have you been following the TGL?
Like is strong. I'm fond of it, and I'll entertain it for a little while if it's on.
Yeah, I'm a very casual observer of it, purely to find out who's playing, because there's been so many reserves coming in. Like, yeah, it seems like some of the established players got a bit of TGL fatigue already, and they're bringing in randoms to replace them on certain matches. But McIlroy has played a TGL match already. He played on January the 3rd, so that's just an awkward pain in the bottom, if you'll pardon the expression.
January, but it's not as if they're walking around the course, is it? You know, you just that's great.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't last very long, but it's quite intense. And like, you've got to get there. He doesn't live in Florida anymore. Like, he has got a base in Florida he can still use, but you know, he lives in Surrey now. Do you remember he moved to the Wentworth Estate? So you got a TGL match on January the 3rd in Florida. You live in the Wentworth Estate. I just think that there's distractions that Fleetwood hasn't had. I just much prefer Fleetwood's build up because he's one of the players I mentioned who skipped his team play, but he skipped it. You know, wisely stayed where he was. Preparing sensibly, he'll play in some later TGL matches later in the year. But yeah, McIlroy for me, just a few build-up concerns, and just the course doesn't suit him. And yeah, I'd give Fleetwood certainly as much a chance of winning this tournament, if not better. Yeah, I think, at the prices, obviously McIlroy's slightly shorter. I much prefer Fleetwood.
Okay, how long has McIlroy lived on the Wentworth Estate?
Not long. No, last year he up sticks. It's a very, very amusing story. But his wife does not like sunshine, and they lived in the Sunshine State in Florida.
They've moved to the right country for that, I can assure you.
Exactly. Yeah, his wife would be very happy this week when it's just pissing down outside. It's very strange. I mean, obviously for us, Florida's like the dream location. Yeah, I'd like to live in Florida. I like sunshine. Obviously living at Wentworth's lovely. He's got a big old mansion.
Backing him for the BMW now, shall we?
Well, certainly be very interesting. Yeah, you certainly get a bit more practice there. But one tournament at a time, Dave.
Yes, sorry, apologies. Right, how close was you to putting your man Jaden Schaefer in?
Oh, blimey! I mean, Jaden Schaefer should love this assignment. Yeah, this is a short course, which is a test of accuracy. I mean, that's the place you should back Jaden Schaefer, because he's not the longest hitter and he'd be supremely accurate, but it's his course debut. And yeah, you must remember that both of those wins at the end of last year were in his home continent at courses he knew really well. You know, his comfort levels were so high in those ones. Yeah, this is much tougher, stronger field, course debut. Yeah, I had to reluctantly leave him out at the odds.
I was a bit surprised to see him third in the market, was you?
Well, I mean, Shane Lowry, he's fourth in the market. And Shane Lowry is there.
Well, I'm on an odds comparison site and he's listed third, but yeah.
Is he really? Shane Lowry, yeah. I mean, Shane Lowry's another one that had a TGL match in Florida. Yeah, you probably think I'm getting obsessed with these TGLs, but I just do think they're a pain. So he played in Florida on January the 6th. So Shane Lowry's got a TGL match in Florida on January the 6th. He's making his debut in the Dubai Invitational. So, is he going to come over early after all that and get to know the course like he should? I think he'll have a more casual approach to the tournament. I respect Shane Lowry's chances. I think he will like the course, but he doesn't know it like the others. And then you got any others you want me to say?
Yeah, what about Nicolai Højgaard?
Nicolai Højgaard, I think, massively unsuited to the venue. Højgaard can destroy his scorecard in a flash on courses that suit him, but you know, on a course where there's loads of water, he hits the odd destructive shot. So I think Højgaard will make loads of birdies, but he'll have a triple bogey along the way. It was the other Danes that my eye was caught to. If you're talking about the three players that came closest to selecting, obviously if you have Fleetwood, once you've got Fleetwood on your team, you're not in a position to have anyone else at short prices.
But you'd be backing him win only, right, Fleetwood, at that sort of price?
Well, I mean, if you only got two players and the second man in your staking plan is a massive price, if you can get 5-1 Fleetwood and get your money back from a top five, then you have to seriously consider that. The three that I was spent ages considering were Rasmus Nergård Petersen. Sweet spot regulars know how much I like him. He was the last name off my shortlist. He was superb on his last trip to Dubai. You must remember that one day. It wasn't long ago. DP World Tour Championship. Yeah, remember, finished with a flourish in Dubai to secure a PGA Tour card. Then he was a brilliant winner of the Australian Open. So he won his maiden DP World Tour title in the Australian Open. This will be his first start this week as a DP World Tour champion. My question mark is he fully focused this week? You know, is this like a gentle warm-up spin before he starts his PGA Tour rookie campaign? Yeah. He's a surprising entrant, I think you'll agree, because you know, you've got a PGA Tour rookie campaign coming up. You know, why is he not focusing on that? But I wonder whether, you know, he's had his Christmas in Denmark. He wouldn't have done any practicing in Denmark over Christmas. And then, you know, ease your way into the season with a bit of warm weather training in Dubai. I think that's the idea. But I just think maybe his focus is a switch to the PGA Tour rookie campaign. So yeah, Rasmus Nygaard Petersen would hurt me more than anyone if he won this week. I think he's the one that I found it so hard to get rid of, but just have a few little niggling doubts about his focus. And then the other two, his compatriot Thorbjørn Olesen.
Yeah.
You're a big Thunder Bear fan, aren't you? I'm a big Thunder Bear fan.
Massively.
I'll always be a Thunder Bear fan, but yeah, he's a Dubai resident, Dave. You must note. Finished eighth in the 2024 Dubai Invitational, comfortable playing in a breeze. We've got a windy week coming. I just wonder whether the wind gets quite extreme at times this week. And Olesen, like Nicolai Højgaard, has some destructive scorecard busting shots in him. Is he too loose off the tee to handle a windy week with loads of water around? My two much more solid from tee to green. I can just about resist Olesen, and then the other one, wait for the crossbow ready to fire at me from the comment section. You know, Tom McKibben. Yeah, I feel awkward when I bring him up now because I get so much abuse. But Tom McKibben is a Dubai resident, Dave. He will know this course well. He was 25th in the 2024 Dubai Invitational. Ended last year really, really strongly. And don't forget that amazing record-breaking win he had in the Hong Kong Open is on a short, tight track. Bit of a tongue twister. And, yeah, this week he's on a short, tight track. Nygaard Petersen, Tom McKibben, Thorbjørn Olesen, they're the three artists to get away from. But when you put so many eggs, right, gamble responsibly, when you put some eggs on Tommy Fleetwood, you've run out of eggs for anyone else, unless you're back in a big price each way runner like Ewan Ferguson.
Golf is back, and we absolutely love it. Give us a reminder, Steve, of the bet buy time there.
The bet buy, 4:35 a.m. That's what it was last time. 4:35 a.m. Thursday morning, UK time.
Okay, looking forward to that. There's water absolutely everywhere. If you go on the DP World Tour site, there's a sort of a flyby hole by hole. And yeah, there is water absolutely everywhere. So bring your armbands. That is for
sure. You can't count any chickens, can you? You can't count any chickens until they hatch. I mean, there was a few. Yeah, Rory McIlroy looked like it was going to win. People were counting their Rory McIlroy chickens. Yeah, a lot of chicken and egg chat on this sweet spot already. How do you like your eggs in the morning, Dave? I like mine with a kiss.
Well, listen, last year it was 19 under par. Do you want to go higher or lower?
I'll go lower than that because I think there's a fair amount of wind in that in this wind, forecast, yeah.
Right, let's move on then. From Dubai to Hawaii, we are for the Sony Open here. Dates back to 1965, a regular on the PGA Tour, this event. Yeah. Loads of form to go at. Nick Taylor, winner last year. Before that, Grayson Murray, Siwoo Kim, Matsuyama, Kevin Na, Cam Smith. I'm going to chuck this out very early doors, Steve. Five of the last eight run-ins has gone to a playoff. I've had a little shop around. Yeah. 130 was the best price I could find. This event going to a playoff. What are your thoughts on that? Is it going to be we're set for a tight finish?
My first thought is I can't believe you didn't say Burlington Bertie. Because it's almost compulsory to say 130 Burlington Bertie, which to our younger viewers will mean nothing. So Burlington Bertie, yeah, I mean, yeah, how can you have a strong opinion on that? I appreciate
it. As a fun bet, 130, it doesn't matter who's involved in the shake-up, you're just watching on a Sunday evening, sure. Open for a playoff.
No, I'm all for fun, Dave, I'm all for fun. I wonder whether you'll still be awake when that's about to win, because this is a test of endurance, these Hawaii events. I mean, if you have a few nights out at Romford during the week, you might not have the stamina to stay up on Sunday night, but I certainly will. I mean, it was absolute heartbreak for us last year. We had a playoff loser last year. Remember, we were on Nico Echeverria at big prices, and unfortunately, Nico Echeverria was denied by Nick Taylor in a playoff. So, yeah, every chance we get a playoff. But
Five of the last eight. As I just saw that, and I thought, well, I wonder what price that is. That will do for me as a little fun wager. Sure. Tell us about the track.
Waialae Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. We've got one Geordie on the sports desk, haven't we? The Racing Post sports desk got Joe Casey. He's a Geordie, isn't he? So he maybe is. We'll get Joe Casey to talk about this golf tournament soon just for our own fun and games. But yeah, Waialae Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. 7,044 yards, par 70. So two short courses this week. Only two par fives. Hosted since 1965, as you say, thin fairways, small greens, but quite thin trees either side of the fairway. So you can miss a fairway and still have a shot. Accuracy is the key to success, though, because they've grown the rough a little bit in recent years. Traditionally, players who had a warm-up spin in the Century Tournament Champions the previous week did well at Waialae. That was a lovely warm-up spin in Hawaii.
You've not got that this year.
No, absolutely. Yeah, different layouts, but similar course conditions. So, it was a really useful warm-up spin. So, this is the first time the Sony Open has been the first tournament of the year. So, we're entering uncharted terrain here in that respect. The field is smaller, though, which gives us a better chance. They've reduced the field size from 144 to 120. Sunny, pleasant weather for the most part. Breezy afternoons every day. So, again, similar to the Dubai Invitational. And then the action starts when we're eating our dinner on Thursday, Dave. Yeah, when you and your little Cockney family are settling down for your jellied eels on Thursday night. Well, you like a jellied eel every night. So on Thursday night, when you're tucking into your jellied eels, the tournament will be starting in Hawaii. Outrageous. You're a Cockney, aren't you, Dave? It's not a term of offence.
Jesus. Listen, this is one of them golf tournaments. I know it's not, rainbows in a professional golfer's life. You know, we've seen behind the scenes with things like the Full Swing or what have you. But, yeah, I mean, imagine just your job being, where are you off to this week? I'm off to Hawaii for the first event of the year. Go well. Oh, yeah, I'm off to Hawaii. Like, it's just a dream, right? It's a dream.
Yeah, they do live a wonderful life. And, it's why I encourage my son to practice his golf and, my lady wife thinks I'm a pushy parent, pushing sport on him, but I know the rewards that can come from that. Yeah, surely it's the best life anyone can get, isn't it? To be a professional sportsman. Pick your favorite sport. By all means, pick your favorite sport. But there's nothing, our lives, Dave, haven't worked out ideally, have they? Let's be honest.
I'm all right. Speak for yourself. I'm quite happy. I'm content.
Yeah, but people.
I feel like you're pushing your son to be a professional golfer for your own gain.
No, not.
You want to be on the bag. You want to be true, watching.
That's not true.
She's on to you.
My happiness is totally irrelevant, Dave. I can assure you. I am not in this. I want the best for my children. And I just look at life as a professional sportsman is the best life you can get. Obviously, we make the best of our lot, Dave, and you're right to be positive. But yeah, we don't want to be writing about stuff in a work shed. We want to. ideally, you'd want to be centre forward for West Ham, wouldn't you?
I'd probably take my boots on Saturday. I might get a game the way we can at the minute.
Yeah. No, there are better lives out there. There's worse lives than yours, Dave, for sure. Don't get me wrong. Lots of lives worse than yours, Dave. So stay positive. But there's loads that are better. There's loads that are better. And that's why I encourage my son and my lady wife thinks I'm a little bit pushy at times. But I'm just trying to help them.
Push away.
Is climbing an Olympic sport, Dave? Is climbing an Olympic sport, just quickly? Because Tommy Tiger showed a real passion for climbing the other day. And my daughter loves, we went to a climbing wall. Climbing seems to be the new sport.
Yeah, they've got one of them at my local sports village, yeah.
That seems to be the new sport. And I'm not convinced there's a successful career in
it could always climbing. Be a gladiator, couldn't it? That's one of the things in gladiators, they shoot up the wall.
Oh, he'd be a good gladiator. Yeah, he would be a good gladiator. Yeah, but I've got a feeling you can get an Olympic gold medal from being a good climber now. So that's another route to glory.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right, should we get back to the golf in Hawaii?
Sorry, Dave, you set me off on one there. I don't know what you said to set me off there. You were talking about how nice it would be to be going to Hawaii for your job now. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
So we're going for accuracy here as well.
We are going for accuracy. Absolutely. Yeah. Accuracy. Yeah. Small greens. So scrambling well around the small greens. As I say, you can get lucky if you miss a fairway because the trees are very thin trunks. You can find a way around them, but they've got a bit fed up of how low the scoring. There was one year where Justin Thomas shot a 59 and shot a million under par to win. And since then, the Waialae bigwigs have thought, right, we need to get this a little bit tougher. And they've succeeded with slightly higher rough. So driving distance, there's no advantage to being long here. That's a key point to make. Yeah, both tournaments this week, there's no real advantage to have driving distance.
Okay, no need for the bombers. Right, the market then: Russell Henley, Matsuyama, Ben Griffin, JJ Sporn, Colin Morikawa, Bobby Mack, Siwoo Kim, Keegan the Tears Bradley, Corey Connors, Maverick McNealy, Estella Field, PGA Tour event. How many in the team?
Three in this one, so a total of five tips this week.
Okay, two and a three. So if you're playing six doubles there, each way doubles, win doubles, whatever you want to do. If you're following in Steve, who is the main selection then for the Sony Open?
It's Russell Henley, the highest ranked player in the field, a former Sony Open champion, a former Waialae 72 hole record holder, ideally suited to the layout, full of self-belief after the best and most lucrative season of his career. The Sony Open analysis was so similar to the Dubai Invitational analysis for me, Dave, because there were a few players I spent ages considering, but I didn't have enough faith in any of them. So I disregarded all of them in the end. There was a few market principles that I mentioned in the Dubai one. I spent ages considering, but there wasn't enough faith. And then there's one candidate that it's just impossible to find holes in. There's just an outstanding candidate that you can't find any fault with. And it's the same with this one. You know, Tommy Fleetwood is impossible to get away from in Dubai. Russell Henley deserves clear favoritism in Hawaii. Each way double fans will be sensing their opportunity. I'm glad you've already mentioned that, Dave, because the Fleetwood Henley double is an exciting start to the year for us. Henley made a barnstorming Sony Open debut. It's 13 years ago. I was going to say you might remember that one. 13 years ago. He came here as a PGA Tour maiden in 2013 Sony. I remember it as if it was yesterday. I know I'm quite weird, but I remember it. I thought it was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. He carded rounds of 63, 63, 67, 63, 24 under par, three shot victory, world at his feet. Henley fell in love with Waialae. He was a Sony Open playoff loser to Hideki Matsuyama in 2022. He was fourth in 2024, 10th last year. Henley has got seven Sony top 20s on his CV. He's never been a better player. And I don't think Waialae has ever suited him better than it does now, actually. Because as I mentioned, they've made it a little tougher off the tee with higher rough. We haven't had anyone reach 20 under par since 2022. So the days of 59s are long gone, I feel. Henley's tee to green precision counts for more these days. His only weakness is a lack of driving distance, which, you know, is just totally irrelevant at Waialae. And his putting is back. You know, he started off back in 2013. He started off as one of the best putters you'd ever seen. Then he had some lean spells, but the last two seasons, his putting has been really solid again. With a different grip, of course. So he just the complete Sony Open package again. And last year, I mean, it'd take me a while to go through all his achievements. I mean, he won at Bay Hill in March. You probably remember that one. Absolute thriller to deny Colin Morikawa, I think it was, wasn't it? So he won at Bay Hill in March, second in the Travelers Championship, second in the Tour Championship. We were on him in the Tour Championship. And, we got a good run for our money, got the each way money, finished second. Also excellent by the coast last year, Dave. Fifth at Pebble Beach, eighth at Heritage, 10th in the Open. You must remember that one. You don't forget Opens, Dave, do you? He was 10th in the Open. The only negative. I concede it is a negative, but it's a negative that so many players in the field have got. The only negative is he hasn't competed for a long time. He hasn't competed since the Ryder Cup, which is why you can get a double figure price about Russell Henley. Yeah, the Ryder Cup was a long time ago. I'll grant you that. But I think that's the deal. We're getting a double figure price because of that potential rust. That's a fair deal, if you ask me. He's not had any off-course distractions. When I get to the ones that I was mulling over, loads of them have had off-course distractions in the close season. Henley hasn't. He got married in 2015. He's got three kids. The last kid he had was born in 2022. So all he's been doing in the close season is recharging his batteries and practicing. He's been living a lovely life since the Ryder Cup. I mean, it would have taken him a month to get over that Ryder Cup singles match against Shane Lowry. You must remember that one. Shane Lowry dancing around the green. It's very easy to forget that Shane Lowry didn't even win that singles match. It was a tied match. Henley played some great golf in that. His bunker shot on the last was from the fairway bunker was excellent. You probably needed a month to get over the Ryder Cup. Then he's just been recharging, practicing. And as I say, you're going to say to me, he hasn't played since the Ryder Cup. He's rusty. Loads of players are full of rust this week. None of them are as good as Russell Henley.
Okay, Rusty Russell, then, is the main pick. Right, two more to come. Who else you got for us?
Rusty Russell, like it. The next best is Eric Cole, who we know is not rusty. There's no rust in Eric Cole because he's an absolute golfaholic, Dave, and he likes to play up, he likes to tee up in on the Minor Golf League, the Minor Golf League Tour. Minor League Golf Tour, I think it's called. Yeah, the Minor League Golf Tour. Most PGA Tour professionals, when they're not playing in a PGA Tour event, they're just relaxing. He goes and tees up on the Minor League Golf Tour as Eric Cole, and he won his 60th Minor Golf League Tour event 3 weeks ago, Dave. So just before Christmas, your Scottish Schefflers are preparing their turkey and just living spending their millions. Eric Cole, an absolute golfaholic, teed up in that and won it. He was bogey three. It's a 36-hole event. He was bogey three for the entire event. One-shot victory. His first prize was $12,000. just shows his passion for practice. And he wanted to keep himself ticking over because this is a highly motivated PGA Tour maiden. He's desperate to shed that PGA Tour maiden tag. And I think he can threaten it this week at the age of 37. Cole, a late bloomer. He's a late bloomer. And he's had 11 top six finishes on the PGA Tour, but all of them since the start of 2023. So 11 top six finishes since the start of 2023. You might remember that Honda Classic playoff loss in February 2023. He was so close to winning the Honda Classic in 2023. He's been threatening a PGA Tour breakthrough ever since. Fantastic iron player, magnificent putter. Driver is the weakness. This is not a week where you have to worry about having a driver weakness, really. Get it in play somehow off the tee. You haven't got much distance to cover. He can make a huge impact with his irons, and his putter at Waialae. His Waialae form figures are 61-13-5. Like Fleetwood, he had a very, very poor century last year. He finished 52nd of 59 in the century, then came to the Sony and shot rounds of 64, 67, 67, 68. He was third in the 2023 RSM Classic, so he likes teeing up by the coast. Lovely each-way bet. You know, some players might be easing their way into action. We're hoping Russell's been practicing, Rusty Russell. We're hoping Rusty Russell's been practicing. Some players will come to this event having not practiced. But Eric Cole, desperate for a maiden title, has been keeping himself ticking over through the entire Christmas period. Golden opportunity for him.
Golfaholic, much like you, Steve, living and breathing it every single day. Right, they are the first. Again, he's another player. Got to scroll quite a way down for him. Lovely each way price there. Who is the third and final pick?
It's Matt McCarty, another player that we love on Sweet Spot. He was a hero for us in the 2024 Black Desert Championship. It was a three-shot victory there. His maiden PGA Tour title. He won three times on the Corn Ferry Tour that year. You know I love this lad, Dave. He turned 28 last month. I think he's got a fantastic temperament. He always impresses me in interviews. His temperament is magnificent. I love his putting stroke. I think he's got the X factor. He doesn't hit it a long way, but iron play and his short game are just, you know, he's got something about him. I love the way he goes about his business. Very brisk player on the greens and a very effective player. I don't think he gets the respect he deserves. I don't think Matt McCarty gets the respect he deserves. He started 2024 ranked 429 in the world. He started 2025 ranked 46th in the world. You know, so a rapid improver. A bit like Cole, he's a late bloomer, but not as late as Eric Cole. And, you know, he ended last year in tremendous fettle, did McCarty. 8th in the Wyndham, 14th in the Bay Current Classic. He nearly shot 59 in the final round of the Bay Current Classic. He bogeyed the last for a 60. 3rd in the Bank of Utah Championship, 8th in the Australian Open. So Australian Open, not long ago. You know, people were saying, what's Matt McCarty doing in the Australian Open? He fancied playing Royal Melbourne. You know, you talk about golfaholics, you know, golf sickos. He just wanted to play Royal Melbourne. You know, it's not all, they're not all mercenaries, these golfers. You know, 99% of them are, but there's certain players like Matt McCarty who will jet to the Australian Open from America for no appearance fee, just to play Royal Melbourne because he knows it's one of the greatest courses in the world. Just shows the measure of the man, I'd say. And he was rewarded for that. You know, the Lord rewarded his decency there, his purity, by giving him a final round tee time with Rory McIlroy. So he played with Rory McIlroy, beat him by two shots on the Sunday, beat him by two shots in the tournament, and finished 8th in the Australian Open. So he ended last year. He said that was the highlight of his year, playing with Rory McIlroy in the Australian Open at Royal Melbourne. So he ended last year in really satisfying fashion. Then just before Christmas, he got engaged to his girlfriend. The lovely Maddie said yes. All is rosy in McCarty's world. And I think he's going to make a barnstorming start of 2026. This is his second Sony Open start. He finished 65th of 76 weekend qualifiers on his Sony debut last year. But he was in terrible form. The first 2 months of last year, he was really struggling. This time, he's in great heart.
Maddie said yes. Was it a nice moment, Steve?
Maddie said yes, yeah. They're a lovely couple. They're a lovely couple. Matt and Maddie. Matt and Maddie are a lovely couple. They do a lot of good work for charity together, actually. I saw them at a charity fundraiser for cancer research the other day. So, I've got a lot of time for Matt and Maddie. Cheers.
Lovely. He's not a mercenary.
To Matt and Maddie.
Someone can clip that. If he ever joins Liv, clip that up, all right? Clip that little...
Well, Liv's falling apart. I mean, I know I've been talking a lot on this podcast and we perhaps haven't got time, but Brooks Koepka is leaving and they haven't really signed all the players they want to sign. We can have a little chat at the end if the producers
we will. Right, you've given us three players there, so we've got six players in six each way doubles in total. Three. Anyone who nearly made the list for the Sony Open?
We must go through it. There's a few. I mean, Ben Griffin, I get a lot of stick for disrespecting Ben Griffin. I do think Ben Griffin is well suited to this assignment. You know, a short windswept track, premium on putting this week. I do respect Ben Griffin this week, but he's been tailed off in the last two Sony Opens, and there's a good chance he's not fully up to speed. We mentioned Russell Henley. All he's been doing is recharging the batteries and practicing. Ben Griffin's had distractions. He got married last month. He tied the knot with Dana last month. So bear in mind, you got wedding, honeymoon, Christmas, New Year. Yeah, if anyone's entitled to turn up rusty to this, it's Ben Griffin. I think Henley would have practiced much more than Ben Griffin in the build-up to this. So I have to leave Ben Griffin out, and I apologise to all the Griffin fans out there. I know he's got a big well of support out there. JJ Spawn, you probably want to know about, the US Open champion.
Yeah.
He's missed the cut in five of his eight previous Sony Opens, but he was third last year. I mean, last year was a dream campaign for him. And he was lively in the Hero World Challenge just before Christmas. I think you respect JJ Spawn. I think Henley's a safer bet, but I respect JJ Spawn. Anyone else you want to know about, Dave?
What about this man?
Is this Colin Morikawa? Nico Echeverria. Nico Echeverria. I mean, as I say, enjoyed being on Nico Echeverria last year. It was really, really exciting, and we were so close to winning that. Watch it back. Watch that playoff back, and Nick Taylor just daggers in our heart at key moments. But Nico Echeverria, like Griffin, has had his eye off the ball in the close season. I don't know whether you were invited to their wedding, Dave, but I know you're a big Nico fan. Nico got married last month or the end of November. He made an honest woman of the lovely Claudia. Nico and Claudia have been going steady for a while, so there was an inevitability about Nico and Claudia.
And you're telling me that because he got married last month, don't fancy him to go well?
I just think wedding, honeymoon, I mean, contrast greatly with Ryan Gerard. Remember, Ryan Gerard jetted down to Mauritius to play in the Mauritius Open to keep his world ranking, to get into the top 50 of the world rankings, to get a Masters place. He was jostling with Nico Echeverria. So Nico Echeverria could have done the same thing and been in the Masters. But Nico Echeverria, down tools, concentrated on Claudia. I'm not for one second saying that wasn't the right thing to do. But in comparison to people like Ryan Gerard, who were like focused on getting in the Masters, Nico Echeverria just forgot about golf for a bit. Wedding, honeymoon. He had that heartbreak last year in the playoff. Yeah, really well suited to the assignment. I can see why he's on your radar. Yeah. He's on my radar, but I just think maybe he's not quite ready to compete yet.
You're also going to play down. I think I'm just going to back Sahith Theegala every week until he wins. Like, talk me out of it, Steve. I know you're going to talk me out of it.
He wasn't impressive in the TGL the other day.
I don't care about the TGL.
I don't know. I think he needs a little bit of time.
I saw some quotes from him about a fresh start. You know, injury worries are beyond him.
Well, that's crucial. Injury worries are the key to everything. That really destabilized him last year. Now, you know, I love Sahith Theegala. I thought you were going to say Colin Morikawa because I know you like back.
Sahith might be in the bin. He might be in the bin by the end of 2026. There's every chance of that.
Colin Morikawa's in the bin. This is big news. Colin Morikawa's in the bin. Yeah, no, Sahith Theegala's not in the bin. Yeah, Colin Morikawa could be in the bin. I mean, Colin Morikawa close to slipping outside the world's top 20.
Yeah, I saw that.
Another one who was unimpressive in the TGL. He played on January the 3rd on a losing side. I don't think he's any good in the wind either. We must stress how windy it's going to be this week. I've never seen Colin Morikawa really impress me in the wind. And people say, he's an Open champion. That Open that he won in 2021, it was sunny, calm conditions.
Is it COVID one?
Yeah. COVID one. But the weather was amazing. It was sunny and calm. It didn't look like a normal Open. It was like a... Yeah, like you're playing it in...
All those lines of form, whatever sport, I don't care what it is, COVID times was a strange time. There's no crowds, there is crowds, preparation, recovery, everything in sport where you had to, not be within 2 metres of someone else.
I just think
put all them lines of form in the bin.
Yeah. I certainly think that Open was very unusual. So, Colin Morikawa, no appeal. Siwoo Kim, we should discuss because talk about LIV. We might be able to segue this into the LIV chat because... LIV have been trying to sign all these players and have failed on virtually all of them. Siwoo, they wanted to get the Ironheads. I mean, I know you're a massive Ironheads fan. Kevin Na is the captain of the Ironheads. And LIV's idea was to get a load of South Koreans, make that a team of South Koreans. And, Siwoo Kim and Sung Jae Im were like their targets. Sung Jae Im negotiations failed with him first, and then Siwoo Kim over Christmas. This is why I think he spent his whole of Christmas negotiating with Liv, really. And Siwoo Kim is seemingly pledged to the PGA Tour now. I mean, you can't say just because he's at the Sony Open, he's definitely not joining Liv, because you remember Tyrrell Hatton played in the Sony Open just before he joined Liv. So
maybe you'll win it and go, that's my number. If you want me, that's my number. You'll win it and that'll get it over the line.
Maybe. I just wonder whether Siwoo's got his head right for this, because the negotiations have been intense. Liv's in massive trouble now, I'd say, because basically with Brooks Koepka leaving, did you see the new initiative from the PGA Tour? So Brooks Koepka's playing in the Farmers Insurance Open. Is that next week? No, the week after next. Brooks Koepka back on the PGA Tour. Have you missed that story, Dave?
No, I saw he's back, yeah.
So we were saying they're going to create a new category to let him back on, and they essentially have. They've created a category. Basically, if you've won majors and the PGA Tour would like you back, then they've created a new category where you can come back. You've got to make a charitable donation. So, Brooks Koepka's got to donate $5 million to a charity, the equivalent of about a fiver to us. And then he's not allowed to have part of the equity, the sort of the PGA Tour players get equity now. There's a certain amount they get at the end of each year, depending on the various things. So basically very, very small concessions, I think, to allow Brooks Koepka to come back on. Some people might be a bit annoyed that he's gone.
$5 million is a big number.
Some people might be annoyed he's got back on so easily. They want much bigger fines. But the PGA Tour have been very, very clever on all this, if you ask me. They've created a new set of rules to get the best players back, to attract the best players. They don't care about the lesser players. The upshot is Bryson DeChambeau can probably ask for £1 billion now, I'd say. I genuinely think I'm not being funny. Not being funny, mate, but I genuinely think, he's the poster boy. If Bryson DeChambeau leaves, Liv is in huge trouble. The Saudi guys will know that. And I honestly think, because he's renegotiating his contract, John Rahm's not in a position to do that because his contract came into place later. So he's not in the contract negotiation stages. Bryson DeChambeau is. So Bryson DeChambeau goes in with his team and negotiates a new contract. I genuinely think his request will be £1 billion or a go, which is, there won't be many negotiations in around the world of business, let alone sport, where the opening offer is, I would like £1 billion or I'm quitting the company. Fascinating times. I think Siwoo's not quite ready for this. I think Brian Harman is one we need to discuss. I mean, what's Brian Harman been up to? Do you know anyone who knows Brian Harman? I'd love to know what he's been up to. Loves hunting. December's a big month of hunting. The deers are all still out there. I think he's probably still going to be chewing on a deer when he gets to the first tee. A lot of this is speculation this time of the year. What are the players been up to over the Christmas period? And I think I've worked it out. What sort of characters have been practicing and are ready for this, and what sort of players are? Brian Harman is made for this assignment. I don't trust him to have not spent the whole of Christmas hunting. He's obsessed with shooting deer and eating pheasants and stuff.
Each to their own.
So that's the reason for ruling him out. And Maverick McNealy, just finally, Dave. I know I've got a bit of a ramble on today, but Maverick McNealy.
We're buzzing for golf to be back. So you ramble away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You give us a few weeks, we'll probably be too tired to talk. But Maverick McNealy has just become a father, Dave. Are you aware of that? I know. We feel like we're he's a good mate of ours, Maverick McNealy. Yeah. He became a father in November. He actually mentioned, I thought it's quite a negative thing to
write. He
mentioned that it sort of derailed his golf game a bit. And I was just thinking,
no nappy factor.
Yeah, he's going to throw himself into it, I guess. But he became a father in November. I don't know if it was planned.
What's his wife called? What's his wife's name?
That's a good question. Because remember, I can't quite remember. I know he was going out with an LPGA Tour star for a bit, wasn't he? Remember?
I feel like I'm on like PGA Tour Love Island or something going on here with relationship statuses and everything.
he's had a checkered history, really, because obviously he's got the billionaire dad. He's obviously able to attract very shallow women. just say, oh, look, my dad's a billionaire on PGA Tour. And he did go out with LPGA Tour. So I think it was Danielle Kang. I better check that. He was dating an LPGA Tour star for a bit, and then they split up. And Danielle Kang had some health problems. It did look it's quite a nasty breakup. But I can't remember the name of his current wife. But they've just had a kid, and he's admitted that it's derailed him a bit. So Maverick McNealy likes short coastal courses. Ordinarily, you'd have him on your radar for this, but he's not on my radar for this.
Okay, one other player, then the defending champion, Nick Taylor.
Yeah, Nick Taylor's record in this event is
you wouldn't be surprised if he won it, would you? You wouldn't be.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. It wasn't just last year. He's always done well in this. And yeah, you wouldn't rule out Nick Taylor. I mean, I'm happy with my lot, Dave. I'm happy with my lot. I know I got two short prices there this week, but put them in a double and you're laughing your head off.
Okay, right. Two tournaments then, done and dusted. What else you got happening this week, Steve?
Well, I know you're embroiled in the Masters snooker. Neil Robertson is. I think we both agree that Neil Robertson's the man to be on in that, don't we?
Robertson Trump final. Yeah.
So yeah. Come on, Robbo. And then in the Bahrain Darts Masters, we're just waiting for the draw. I mean, Luke Littler is back in action this week in the Bahrain Darts Masters. The format is obviously much shorter than the World Championship. It's best of 11 legs for the first two rounds of the Bahrain Darts Masters.
Right.
Semis is best of 13, final is best of 15. The first prize is only £30,000. You know, Luke Littler does a tweet and it's worth more than £30,000. Is he going to be able to get motivated for this one? I'm going to have a good look at the draw before I decide whether it's Luke Littler time. It might be worth someone else in the other side of the draw. The Bahrain Darts Masters starts on Thursday and finishes on Friday. I know we've got some darts fans on this podcast. Very short event. Starts Thursday, finishes Friday. The draw's out on Wednesday night, so keep your eyes peeled for the draw.
Wicked. Oh, speaking of darts, there was a lad down the snooker club last night. There was a darts tournament on, and I was at the bar, and he collared me, and he said he's a fan of the show. I didn't get his name. If he sees me again down the club, do come and tell me your name. But to the darts man at the snooker club last night, who loves the show.
Shout out to the darts man. And if he wants to come to Ice Barcelona next week, then tell him to. I will be in Barcelona next week for a sort of betting and gaming conference where all the betting bigwigs get involved. I'll be there on a Formula One simulator. You know how much I love Formula One. So we do a Formula One simulator. And people can come and test themselves on that. See if they can beat my lap time. And if they do beat my lap time, then they'll have a chance of winning two tickets to a Cheltenham Festival day of their choice. So it's a prize well worth winning if you like your horses.
Okay, well, we don't obviously condone reckless or dangerous driving, but I do know that you've got one or two points on your license, Steve. So your lap's probably going to be tough to beat, right? You've got a need for speed?
I have got a need for speed. I mean, obviously you can't crash a simulator, can you? I've never had a go on one. I assume you can crash the vehicle and get points deducted or time deducted on that while they fix the car.
Yeah, 100%. There's a tyre wall out there with your name written all over it in that simulator.
Now, it's going to be very interesting to see how well I do. But I'm just getting my gear ready for that, trying to source a helmet. You wouldn't believe how much a helmet costs. A replica Michael Schumacher. Like Michael Schumacher is my hero. Probably make the Lewis out. Yeah, my Formula One hero. I haven't really got a Formula One. Michael Schumacher is the best ever in my opinion. Lewis Hamilton fans would get onto me there, but you can't beat a bit of Schumacher. So I'm trying to get a replica Michael Schumacher helmet, and they're like $2,000 for like the cheapest one I can find. One was going for like $58,000. I don't know whether
I worn it during a race. Sure.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely
okay. Right.
Right.
So anyone can come along if you're in Barcelona. Find Steve on the Spotlight Sports Group.
Yes.
Stand. That was the word I was looking for take him on. There you go, to win two tickets for the Cheltenham Festival. Right, we'll be back. Myself and I'm assuming James the Ace Mason. We've got the Dubai Desert Classic and the American Express next week. We wish you well. Thank you for watching. Do get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. Like, comment, subscribe. We want to hear from you. Golf is back this week. And who are you backing? Let us know. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.